You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio. Hi.
It's a midweek Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here at KGYM. Great to have you with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side. Ben stationed on the other side of the glass. Brian Haas going to join us coming up here. He's in studio, and we've got Caddy Smack on the Gym Class for you, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour here today. We'll talk a lot of golf. John Deere Classic ready to tee off tomorrow morning. The LIV tournament out in Oregon, and we get ready for the Open Championship. All that coming up here on the program. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at dupaco.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to their website at dupaco.com. And coming your way, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and your smart speaker as well. And if you have a early question for Brian or just want to get that in, go ahead and text it to us. Or if you just want to text us, love to hear from you. That number is 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well, talk and text line, 319-366-1600. As Mark joins us from the back porch on this a little warm Wednesday afternoon today. How you doing?
Very good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Brian and everyone out there. And looking forward to today's edition of Caddy Smack and visiting with a guy whose pedigree is much better known in basketball.
Yeah, but we're going to talk a little bit of golf with him coming up. And that is former Hawkeye Jess Settles, who Brian works with. And we're going to talk with him about his golf game. How, you know, difficult it is. Is this a myth that tall people cannot play golf well? We're going to break that myth. We're myth-busting today here on the program. So we've got that, and we'll ask a few basketball questions as well with Jess. And we'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. But plenty to talk about prior to that. First and foremost, Mark, the Big Ten Conference today, announcing their male and female athletes of the year. And I don't think much surprise as far as the male athlete of the year is concerned. This was a terrific, terrific choice.
Gable Steveson from Minnesota, the heavyweight Olympic champion, NCAA champion, is your male winner. Somewhat of a no-brainer, I think. He's been very good with the media, with the public. And his talent is bar none on the wrestling mat. And nice to see what he does in the future. But, yeah, kind of a no-brainer in my mind.
Yeah, and the female athlete of the year, a volleyballer from Nebraska, I believe. Was that correct, or was it Wisconsin? I better double-check on this here, but we will get that out in just a little bit. But, yes, Gable Steveson is the male athlete of the year. And, of course, 1 year ago, it was Luca Garza who was the Big Ten male athlete of the year, as we all recall, the former player of the year as far as Iowa men's basketball is concerned. And, of course, he's been in the news over the past 24-hour cycle, Mark, and the Detroit Pistons electing not to re-sign Luca Garza. So as he and his father, Frank, have both put out there, as far as social media is concerned, they are shopping around for a brand new NBA team, and they believe they will find a landing spot for Luka, and I would agree with them.
Yeah, Garza made a little under $1 million his first year. His second year would have brought 1.5, 1.6, and I didn't think Garza had too bad a year at all. I mean, in Detroit, he averaged almost 6 points a game. In the G League, he was on the all G League team, averaging 20 points and double figure rebounds. But you look at the composition of the Detroit roster, and Isaiah Stewart started 71 games at center for the Pistons and averaged 8 points a game. And the Pistons got Jalen Duren from Memphis, a center in the draft, and today acquired Nerlens Noel, a 6'11 center power forward who only averaged about 3 or 4 points a game last year. So it appears like the competition is going to be pretty heavy in Detroit, but I have to believe Luka Garza is going to catch on with someone. Already reports that several teams interested, and wish the best for him.
No one is going to outwork Luka Garza. We know
no,
that.
No, not at all.
We know that. And I agree with you. He was on the G League All-Rookie team, did some good things when he did come up, get a chance with the Pistons, and it's too bad. It's too bad, but I think he's going to catch on with another team, and I think he's going to be successful. I hope so anyway. Just find that right fit as far as Luka Garza is concerned. Dana Retke, by the way, the female athlete of the year, a Wisconsin volleyball player, senior volleyball middle blocker. She is the female athlete of the year in the Big Ten Conference, and Gable Stevenson, as we mentioned, is the male athlete of the year, the Jesse Owens male athlete of the year, the fifth one from the University of Minnesota. And, of course, he was the Dan Hodge Trophy winner for the second consecutive year, which is akin to the Heisman Trophy of college wrestling, if you will.
Yeah, overshadowed a bit by Stevenson, but the female athlete of the year, no less important. And congratulations going out to her. As far as Garza goes, I'm not an NBA expert by any means. I admit it. But I do know enough that this league has changed. It's not a center, back-to-the-basket sort of league anymore. Garza can do that, but that's not what he's versatile. He can shoot it from the outside. He can knock down the 15-footer. So I'm not sure what the Pistons did not see in him, aside from the fact you got Stewart and Duren, and maybe there just wasn't going to be enough playing time for Luka. I don't know.
Maybe we'll ask Jess that. There you go. We'll ask him some basketball as well as some golf questions coming up here in just a little bit. 12 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the Gym Class program. Again, the text number out there, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. We'll get to Caddy Smack on the Gym Class coming up here in just a little bit. And do have some afternoon baseball to let you know about and other things. We're on the eve of the John Deere Classic, as we mentioned. We'll talk about that coming up here with Caddy Smack in just a moment. But we're going to have an early edition, Mark, of our Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue, Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Emil'sHideaway.com, that is their website. And they open at 4 o'clock. And yeah, it would be a little warm to be on the patio, but it will cool off nicely as you get toward the evening. And stop on by, say hi to Jamie and Chris and Dave and everybody. They do a great, great job over at Emil's. And what do we have on the scoreboard today?
Yeah, several afternoon games in Major League Baseball. Final, Milwaukee has defeated Tampa Bay. It's back and forth in Washington as Pittsburgh leads 8-7 in the top of the eighth inning. Brian Reynolds with three home runs for the Pirates. Cedar Rapids Xavier's Mitch Keller started for the Pirates, went four innings, will not figure into the decision. In the middle of the eighth, the Royals lead 2-1 over Texas. It's scoreless, San Diego and Arizona in the third inning. Middle of the second, the Giants on top of Detroit, 1-0. A couple other finals, the Yankees defeated Oakland 5-3. And Houston has defeated the Mets 2-0. In the Midwest League, they completed the suspended game from last night at Wisconsin. Colonels prevailed 6-2. Regularly scheduled game coming up. Also in the NBA, Monte Morris, the former Iowa State star, is on the move. They're finalizing a deal which will move him from Denver to Washington in a four-player deal. The Big 12 has hired a commissioner. He is Brett Yormark, who most recently was COO of Roc Nation. That's Jay-Z's company, for those out there unaware.
Brian knew that.
Yormark has spent several years in the NBA. And finally, because you need to know, the Cure Bowl is no longer the football bowl game in Orlando. It's now going to be the Duluth Trading Company Bowl.
Oh, we'll look forward to those commercials. They are fun commercials, so that actually is, I think, a win. That's a win for everybody. White Sox Angels tonight in Anaheim.
Nice win for the White Sox last night.
It was. Luis Robert hit one that is still going, by the way. Pretty good pitching matchup. Michael Kopech, 2-4 despite a 2.59 ERA. Explain that one, Mark. Shohei Ohtani on the mound for the Angels tonight. His ERA down under 3 now as well at 2.90.
Speaking of baseball, we got a baseball-related poll question today at KGYMRadio.com. Rob Manfred, MLB commissioner, says he doesn't hate baseball. Do you believe him, yes or no? And that is a quote that was that he gave in an ESPN interview recently. Thanks to Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City, Steve Anderson and his team down there doing great work.
I certainly hope he doesn't. If he does, he's in the wrong profession.
That's baseball 30 years. Can you really hate it? People that say he does.
There are a few things that need to be changed. I will say that.
And he's made mistakes.
I don't think he hates baseball, though. 319-366-1600. We're going to take a break. Come back. Caddy Smack on the Gym Class, set to get underway for a Wednesday. Brian joining us. We're going to start things off by speaking with former Hawkeye basketball player Jess Settles. Talk about him on the golf course, a little basketball with Jess as well. So stay tuned. More to come. Gym Class right here on KGYM.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and it is going to be sunny and toasty out there today. Temperatures will be up around 90 and the humidity will be a bit elevated. Later on tonight, we'll have mostly clear skies and just drop down into the upper 60s, staying on the warm side. Tomorrow, we stay warm too. Temperatures will be in the low 90s and the humidity will be elevated. We are going to then have some clouds passing through in the afternoon with a chance for a few scattered showers and thunderstorms late Thursday into early Friday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Good morning, boss.
What's good about it? We're having computer problems again and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk.
You mean hope desk?
Hope desk.
I call and hope I get help, but they either stick me on hold or say I'll get a call back in a couple hours. We need help now.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Oh, then you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
Get help now with IT Solutions. They continually monitor their clients' networks, so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hope desk for you to call for your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you never just hope. You get help now.
We need to get our work done.
Learn more online at WeNeedHelpNow.com.
WeNeedHelpNow.com.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Back with you in the Gym Class program for this Wednesday here on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes. Brian Haas joining us here in studio. Caddy Smack on the Gym Class for a Wednesday, our bi-weekly golf talk. And if you have a Question for Brian about your game. Go ahead and let us know about it on the text line at 319-366-1600. We'll dive into the John Deere Classic in a bit. We'll talk about the second Live Tour event coming up and look ahead to the Open Championship. We will meet one more time before the Open Championship. Next week is the Scottish Open. So that is after the Irish Open, which is this week. So quite a few PGA Tour players making their way across the pond to play the next 3 weeks to get acclimated, if you will. But Brian Haas joining us here in studio, lakehousegolf.com. And does some great stuff down at Saddleback as well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good to have you back in studio. And you were telling me you're on a roll, man. You got to play three times this week.
I know. Craziness. I played in three Pro-Ams this week and finished okay at Davenport Country Club, kind of middle of the pack, and then had a good runner-up position in Galesburg, Illinois, and finished second to Sean, who's playing in the John Deere. And then I had a win over at Thunder Hills Country Club on Sunday.
Mark knows all about golf in Galesburg.
Tongataha, Brian?
It was Lake Bracken Country Club.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
When I was at we played the conference championship there. Knox hosted it at Tongataha. I still remember it. I don't know if it's still there.
I think it is.
Still
yes.
There, yep. Right along the interstate, right?
Yep.
Yep.
I think I drove by it on my way in.
You didn't hit one on the interstate, did you, Mark?
I don't believe I did.
Okay.
Good.
It's not rolling down I-74 somewhere.
No.
Toward any of those places. North or southbound, depending on how, probably northbound, but yeah, glad it didn't happen out there. 319-366-1600. And we're going to start things off on Caddy Smack on the Gym Class today with a special guest, and that is former Hawkeye and now with the Big Ten Network, Jess Settles. And Brian, you were with Jess on Monday, correct? Give us a little background here.
Yeah, so Jess and I started hanging out together a couple years ago and started working on his equipment. And, you know, as a former athlete, he's got injuries. And we're all aging and hurting a bit. And Jess is the same as the rest of us. But the funny part is when we're standing on the range, I'm sure to everybody else, it looks pretty silly.
What are you saying? Because you are not, 6'6", 6'7"?
I think I come to his chest at best. And here I'm looking up to the sky to talk with him, and I got to go to the chiropractor afterwards. But yeah, so it was fun. A couple years back, we worked on Jess's equipment and got him in some better equipment and some better fit and get him playing and out and having some fun.
There you go. That's what it's all about. And hey, Jess, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. And we're going to dispel the myth that, tall people cannot play golf, right?
Absolutely. There's a lot of former basketball guys, a lot of offensive linemen, tight ends who love the game of golf. And it's just a great way to stay competitive when you can't play your primary sport anymore. And I know Brian used to work with a lot of the Chicago Bowl guys when he was in Chicago, and he's been working with seven footers for a long time, and it's a great game for everybody of every size. And I tell you, I would not be playing golf if it wasn't for Brian, and I wouldn't be playing better if it wasn't for Brian. So I really appreciate all he's done for me, and I tell everybody about him, and I'm so happy for him that he's now giving lessons in Solon. And I would just encourage every listener to at least go see him one time. I will guarantee he will shave two strokes off your game.
Thanks, Jess.
Hey, Jess, how long have you been playing the game, and what's your main issue right now? What are you working on?
So I played a little when I was younger. I grew up in Winfield, Iowa, on a farm. We had a membership in at the Winfield Twin Lakes Country Club, but I never had clubs that fit, and we just did it to socialize and run around and go to the pool and then go out and hack a little bit. And then I didn't play for a lot of years. I played a little bit in college. Then I had the back injuries, severe back injuries, and had to take about 8 years off. I had talked to Mark Hankins, who was the coach at Iowa 8 or 9 years ago, told him I was having trouble. Could he build a set of clubs for me that I could just use to so I could be with my buddies and play for fun? And Mark started working with me a little bit, but my back just couldn't take it. And a couple years ago, I called Tyler Stiff, the head coach of the University of Iowa,
and said, look, I'm feeling a little bit better. I know there's a lot of new technology. The clubs are lighter. They got more whip to them. And he immediately said, look, I probably can't help you, but I know Brian Haas down at Riverside can, if anybody can do it for you or anybody else, it's him. And he'd fitted a lot of the Iowa guys and worked with the professionals and the amateurs and the hacks like me. And so I went down there, and Brian just started getting the clubs out, the demos out, and working on my game, and miraculously came up with a set of clubs that were light that I could just kind of play with my arms, started showing me some swing techniques. And I tell you what, I've had the best 2 years of my life, and that's what I was saying. I'm not joking when I say I'm only playing because of him. What are we working on right now? My contact right now is just too straight up and down, and so I'm not my clubs are not, the degree is not what it's supposed to be, because I'm hitting them in, I'm losing a couple degrees, and Brian can explain that to you. But I just am thrilled to be out on the course playing with the game that you guys love, that we all love, and it's because of him.
There you go. Now Brian explained that. Yeah. You know, he Jess is tall dude.
Yeah, right. But here's the funny thing is he does everything that every other player does. He's just taller. And it's the same sort of stuff. So when he was hurting more a couple years back when we put his first set together, his first driver for sure, we had a lot more loft on the club just so he'd get it up in the air and carry it farther. And it was very successful for that time. And he's actually gotten healthier and feeling better. So he saw he came across another golf professional at one of the outlet stores, and he lowered the loft on his club, and he did the right thing. And he got it down to 9 degrees because of how he was lifting the ball into the air, and he was really hitting down at it, and so by de-lofting the club, that helped him quite a bit to get the ball moving again, so we figured out that he needed, you know, less loft, and because he's feeling better, and we got him in a better position, and we started working on his swing direction, and getting his swing direction better, and then putting a little better design golf club for his current swing in his hands, and we were starting to carry balls, you know, out at a really good distance for him, you know, off the tee. So that'll change him again, and he'll be a couple clubs closer to the green, and we know when we're 20 yards closer to the green, we're hitting two less clubs in, and the game gets more fun.
There you go. And good stuff right there. Hey, do you go out a lot, Jess, with the other folks with the Big Ten Network? You guys get together and hit the links a little bit?
I do not, because I'm never in Chicago. I play most of my golf over in Pell at Boss Landing, which is a tremendous course.
Yep.
And I've worked a lot. Matt Jennings, who Brian knows a little bit, he probably plays in some of these tournaments against Brian, an assistant pro over there that this year moved up to Marshalltown. So I play with him quite a bit. And I'm looking forward to playing with Kent McCausland, a former teammate of mine who's a great golfer, J.R. Koch, has fallen in love with the game, and just kind of trying to make up for lost time, to be honest with you, and enjoying playing with a lot of different guys. But a lot of the guys I play with, you know, are hitting at 260, 270 off the tee. And with my situation, you know, I was hitting at 180, 190 off the tee and just couldn't really compete with them at all. We're slowing them down. So, you know, I would play up, play the closer tees, which obviously gives you a lot more confidence, but it's nice to be able to gain 20 or 30 more yards with the way Brian has me set up so that I can at least be a little more competitive and not slow them down. But I sure enjoy playing, and I just sent a text to my old coach, Dr. Tom Davis, a couple days ago and said, what are you doing in a couple weeks? And I know Brian and Coach Davis and Tyler, we were trying to get together last summer, but it didn't work. But so it just brought me back into relationships that I had. But you know, you guys know how it is. There's nothing like the fellowship on a golf course.
And it's hard to give up the competition too, right? I mean, we're athletes our whole lives, and golf gives us that feeling again, and gives you that opportunity to compete again.
Absolutely. That's well said. I mean, there's just something inside all of us, no matter what level you played at of any sport, we're all competitors. We love that feeling. We like to go home and tell our wife and kids that we had a birdie or a par or hit the winning shot and all these things. So one of the things that I try to do psychologically as I'm kind of working through the injuries, and I think a lot of golfers can relate to this, I've had a hard time scoring. I can play some good golf and some enjoyable golf and have some great holes, but it's very difficult to put 9 or 18 together when you're getting back at it, or any time in your life if you didn't grow up with professional coaching or playing a lot. And so I kind of changed my mentality Brian, to where I go out there and my goal is to get 4 or 5 pars per 9 holes. And also play up a box from what I'm comfortable with. And those two things have just brought so much joy to my life and to my game. I can go out there sometimes and get 5 pars and a birdie. And look, I may have 3 triples as well, but if my mentality is go gather some pars and birdies, it just helped my confidence so much, and not near as hard on myself when I'm just looking to shoot a score. So that'll eventually come, I hope. But you also want to enjoy it while you're out there. And I've told some of my guys that I play with who aren't very good, I've told that, and it's helped them mentally as well. And I know that's not necessarily real golf, but it sure makes you look forward to getting out there again every day.
And it is real golf. And the piece to that, and for all the listeners, really, is the key of getting yourself in a position where you can be successful and learn to play the game successfully. Because then when you do bump back a little bit, those are the things you're going to remember when you have 1 or 2 more clubs into each green. It's not the fact that you don't know how to do it. It's just going to be a little further away. And you learn how to score from those positions. So we do that with our good players as well. We have days where we play a shorter course just so they're hitting a lot of wedges into the greens and get good at the short piece of it. And that's a good thing to do. And it's a lot of fun. So for the average player, you know, I think they should look at the tee box and get themselves in a position to where the longest club you're hitting into the green is probably on the longest hole for the par fours is probably a 6-iron. And then what your average length par 4 for that golf course should be a 7 or an 8 iron into the green. And a couple of those should be even shorter. And that's the way I play when I play tournaments and for the in our PGA section events. It's a position where the mid iron is the most struck shot. Mm-hmm. And then you have a few shorter ones and a few longer ones.
True. Not going to get any argument from me on the forward tees, that's for sure. basketball came somewhat naturally to you, not that you didn't have to work at it. How would you term golf? Is it hard or frustrating? What do you think?
It's extremely challenging is the word I would use. I would just encourage everybody, you know, to get a couple lessons if you're interested in the game. I mean, obviously, I recommend Brian to everybody. I know Mike Gayton uses Brian, Kenyon Murray, whose son Keegan was just drafted 4th into the draft, and Chris is player at Iowa. I sent him a text when he reached out to me a few months ago, like, who do I have the boys practice with? I said, I got the perfect guy. Sent him to Brian. So I would just it's a hard game. I would just encourage everybody to get a couple lessons, because if you don't have the right equipment and if you don't get on a computer there where somebody like Brian can look at your swing and your ball spin and all those things that us growing up didn't ever think about. It's just very hard to naturally be good at this game. And a lot of guys can play athletic golf, there's no question. But to become a golfer, I'm just obviously sold on getting lessons and getting practice and enjoying the game that way.
Yeah, very much so. We got to ask you a couple basketball things before we let you go here, Jess.
Yeah, finally.
You mentioned J.R. Koch, and I think we're going to be seeing him a lot more in Iowa City here in the next couple of years. Good get for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes, and Iowa putting together a very, very solid non-conference schedule coming up for this year anyway. And your thoughts about Iowa in the offseason?
Cooper Koch, obviously, I've known him since he was about 3 years old. He's a big-time player who's played well against great competition. A 4-star leaning toward the 5-star ranking player. JR and Jennifer, his wife, they dreamed of him playing in Iowa, and Cooper always wanted to play here too. Now this NIL thing, you know, makes it a lot more gray to where other teams are coming after you, and sometimes you got to go after that. But to get him signed is huge. Fran McCaffrey's youngest son will be here in a few years. He's a big-time player. Obviously, Chris Murray should have an all Big Ten year. I think the Hawkeyes have had maybe 6 or 7 years in a row now where we've had a first team all conference player. And you lose Luther Garzin, you think the wheels are going to come off, and then Keegan steps up. You lose Keegan, and now it's Chris's turn to step up. So, with the way that this system works and they score 85 to 95 points a night, it just becomes next guy in. So, I think they're going to have a wonderful year. A lot of teams in the Big Ten have lost a lot of talent. And it was just an incredible Big Ten championship, obviously highlighted by Jordan Bohannon's bank shot. A special year for him, and And the way Jordan talks, fellas, he claims to be a scratch golfer, so you guys might have to have him on and see if he really can back that up.
You know, I love it.
Make a public statement about that.
Yeah. Well, the addition of Matt Gaidens, that's a good golf swing right there.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Hey, as you know, Jess, Luka Garza not re-signed by the Pistons. You've known many players in this position. What do you make of Luka's, not re-signing or not being able to re-sign with Detroit and his future?
You know, it's interesting. I got a text a few hours ago from Frank, his dad, who's a wonderful guy and kind of the Brian Haas of basketball, where just the guru, the teacher, the fundamentals, the technology, and created this world-class player in Luka. And so I'm going to talk to him tomorrow. I've got a meeting with him on the phone at 9 in the morning, and I'll kind of be able to get the scoop. But my initial reaction just from the cheap seats was that I think this is a blessing in disguise for Luka. It's my understanding they did not pick up his option, which is, let's say, $1.5 million. And he now, I believe, becomes a totally unrestricted free agent. I think there will be a lot of suitors that come with a real offer. At worst-case scenario, he would end up overseas as one of the top players internationally. I don't think he will end up overseas. But I think this is a great thing. I don't know what you guys think about it, but he played extremely well in about 30 games last year for the Pistons, was an all-league, G-League player. I can't imagine his phone's not ringing off the hook.
No, I would agree with you. I would agree with you on that. And as far as the Big Ten, you like what Iowa has coming back right now anyway. A lot of people looking at Indiana maybe going into the year as the Big Ten favorite on paper. Do you agree with that?
You know what? I'm an analyst, right? I do not agree with that for this reason. Trace Jackson Davis, that entire staff, they're going to have to prove it. And I don't think they're in a position where they want to be chased. I think they want to do the hunting. This is kind of a revenge season for them. A lot of talent, but last couple of years they haven't been able to step up necessarily when they need to step up. So I think that they're going to have to go out and prove it. And I think there are a lot of teams that feel like they can have a good season this year. It's too early for me to make a bold prediction like that. And I'm not afraid to make bold predictions, as you guys know.
Just no more for me. I'll just say fairways and greens and win some bets. Okay.
Hey, there's no question. I got to get that putter going, fellas. You get the putter going, I'll be taking some money from people.
So in Winfield at the old, Twin Lakes Golf Club there, now was Clay out there too? I mean, Clay, 7 feet, that had to be, even tougher for him to be out there.
Hey, but Clay, believe it or not, is a heck of a golfer. There's just nothing the guy can't do well. He could have played college ball in golf. He had scholarship offers in football, baseball, track. And he's a darn good golfer. And another teammate, Eric Rawson, who was a darn good golfer. I think Eric played on the high school team. So, hey, we don't mess around down the Winfield. I mean, we don't have any stoplights, but we got some ringers down here.
I love it.
All right. Hey, Jess, appreciate the time. Thanks a lot. We'll look forward to talking some hoops with you as the season rolls around.
Great show, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, all right. Jess. Jess Settles joining us here on Caddy Smack on the Gym Class, and Jess getting back into the game of golf like we all should at this point. So there you go. You can be 6'8", whatever, and right. 7 feet, and play golf well.
Yes. Oh, no doubt. And, when he was talking about some of the bulls that I've worked with in the past, Luke Longley being one and a couple of those big guys from the 90s there, but the big thing is it's an arm length thing and your torso length thing as to how long of a golf club you need. And the funny part about someone like Luke Longley, his arms are so long that he was actually in a stock length, and he thought for sure he was going to need something super long like Jess, but Jess had injuries. So we did have to bring the club up to Jess because he couldn't bend over to the golf club. Where Luke, his arms are so long that his knuckles were actually below mine to the ground. And so he was actually stock length and maybe even a little flat.
Wow. There you go. It all depends on, there are many factors that go into it. We're going to take a short break, come back, and Caddy Smack in the Gym Class continuing right here on KGYM. Your questions for Brian. If you have a question about your game, go ahead, text it. Give us a call, 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Brian will answer your questions and queries, and back with more after this.
Own the outdoors with Masterforce Power Equipment. Hurry in and save 11% on all Masterforce at Menards. Take on heavy-duty dirt and debris with Masterforce electric pressure washers. They're built to take on the toughest cleaning tasks. All Masterforce electric pressure washers are 11% off. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through July 4th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Back with you on the Gym Class for Wednesday here on KGYM. It is Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. And we just talked with former Hawkeye and Big Ten analyst Jess Settles, getting back into the game of golf. Brian helping him out. And we'll talk more about Brian's website coming up before 4 o'clock here today. Scott, Mark, Brian with you, 319-366-1600. If you have a question out there about your game for Brian. Again, that is 319-366-1600, text line or the phone line as well. And we got the John Deere Classic.
Yeah.
Coming up tomorrow.
Exciting.
And, got all kinds of local flavor to that.
Yeah, I had a few players that I work with that went to qualifying. They didn't make it through, and but they made good efforts at it. But Charles John, who I've worked with his equipment quite a bit in the past, and he played in Indiana for his college golf. And then his senior year, he was a graduate senior at the University of Iowa for his final year of collegiate golf. So Hawkeye made it through, Charles John, and excited to watch him play this week.
Yeah, and he's a Southeast Iowa guy too.
Yeah, yep. He's down by Burlington area. Yep. I know he plays out of Burlington Country Club, and we played against each other in that Pro-Am last week that I finished. We finished tied for second together. So maybe I should be playing in the John Deere. Everybody, can I get an exemption, please? And I did tie with Charles. But yeah, and we both finished second to Sean, who's also playing in the John Deere.
True.
I want to speak about some of your proteges, your colleagues. And one, of course, Sean, you mentioned playing in the John Deere, teeing off at 8:45 in the morning. But Jeff Schmidt, teaching pro down there at Brown Deer, finished 33rd in the PGA Senior Open.
Yeah.
Not a small accomplishment for anyone. I mean, he tied with a player like Vijay Singh.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? and there's nothing better than seeing your name on a scoreboard with names like Vijay Singh.
No, and $19,000 behind it. So,
yeah.
That's quite a performance by Jeff.
Yeah, he's an amazing player. He's a great natural golfer. I love watching his golf swing. I know he works at it, and I shouldn't say that he's a natural golfer and that comes easy for him. It doesn't come easy for anybody. It's a hard game, and we always say that, and that's why everybody has questions about it. And but he looks very natural. It is natural for him, even though he still works at it. And just this effortless golf swing, and he goes around about his business around the golf course in such a way that you know, he stays calm and collected, and he really stays within himself when he plays. So it's a lot of fun to watch Jeff play. If you get an opportunity to play with him, you know, take advantage of it, because he is a local guy, and sometimes in those pro-ams and that, you get an opportunity. So take that opportunity. He's fun to watch.
With the John Deere Classic teeing off tomorrow, by the way, I think what Mark, Zach goes off, 12:05 tomorrow, 1:05, something like that?
1:05, Scott.
1:05, yeah. Okay. And he's with two former champions, last year's champion Lucas Glover, and then a former champion in Dylan Fratelli, who played his college golf at Texas. And this was talked about, I know, in the Golf Channel last night, a little bit today as well, that no, we're not going to, you know, sugarcoat this and say that this is the best tournament on the PGA schedule. But there are a few things that are going for the John Deere Classic. They've got a litany of very, very good young players that have won over the years. This is a tournament that a lot of young, very talented golfers kind of get their feet wet with. And like I said, it's a chance to go over there. If you're thinking about it, please do, because the pros, they are young, most of them.
You're right.
And they will interact with you a little bit, especially if you bring some kids over. My son still has the golf ball that Kevin Sutherland gave him.
Yeah, very cool.
From the visiting the John Deere Classic over there. And that was many, many years ago. Trust me on that one. But it is a really neat place to go and get a really up-close look at some of these golfers.
Right, and kind of where the John Deere fits in, too, is, and I'm going to put it in the most simplest terms, there are A players and B players on the tour. So the scheduling for the A players is, you know, pick your schedule, and that's what you get to play in. The B players aren't so lucky. They play in what they are told to be, that they get to play in. And even though they're fully exempt, they don't get to play in everything. And so the John Deere happens to be one of those events that they can play in. And so you're really looking at some really, like you said, great young players. They just happen to be in the B pool.
Yep.
And this is one of their huge B pool facilities is the John Deere. And look at all the great players that have come out of it that won there.
Spieth, DeChambeau.
Yeah.
Going down the line as of late. Dylan Fratelli is a very, very good player as well.
Right.
Out on the tour. Of course, Lucas Glover getting the win, the former U.S. Open champion a year ago, and he will be back and playing with Zach. And 69-36 mark on the text line, and I know you can address this, has the question about Zach's outing in Cedar Rapids, because in the past it has been situated around the trip to the John Deere. That is not going to be the case this year.
Yeah, it's July 25th at Elmcrest Country Club on a Monday, and that is the day after PGA tournament concludes in Minnesota. So it's fairly accessible for whoever Zach wants to bring in.
Yeah, so they will have that again this year in Elmcrest, and it will again be Monday, July the 25th. So mark that down on your calendar. 3:47, Gym Class and Caddy Smack on the Gym Class coming your way here on KGYM. Brian, I want to ask you about this, and we've all been through it. Mark and I talked a little bit about it on Monday, and that is the fact, if you were paying close attention to the golf scene this past weekend, the LPGA Tour had the Women's PGA Championship at Congressional. And if you're a golfer at all or just, you know, you had to feel for Lexi Thompson because she is going through over last 3 years, really, and last Sunday, what if you're a golfer, a serious golfer, you have gone through at least once, and that is the fact that I'm not sure she's got the Y word, the yips, but she missed a two-footer, a couple other very short putts, and probably cost her a major championship, and she's finished runner-up so many, many times, and wanted to ask you about that without getting too far into it, because it's like, you know, Beetlejuice. You talk about it too much and it might show up. But it is curable, but you just, it's very mentally taxing, isn't it?
I didn't know you were allowed to swear on the radio. And that's a bad word.
It is.
So, you know, the reality is that it is curable. And a lot of times it's even curable by taking a break. And I don't know, you know, what her schedule was like, and I don't know how many events in a row she's had, you know, leading into that, those issues. And for some players, it never leaves. I personally know a really great amateur player. He's one of the number one senior amateur players in Indiana. And if he's not one, he's two or three at the worst. And the little pitch shot at 20 yards is his ghost under the bed. Mm. And a monster under the bed, and he struggles with it, and he does to this day, and he'll get over it for a little bit, and then he's right back at it again. So he may never, that may never go away. With Lexi, I'm just guessing she's probably, you know, schedule wise, maybe was, you know, in a tough spot where she's got a lot going on. You know, she's besides being a great golfer, she's a model and does all those other things that she does. And that could just be getting in the way, and she's just got to back off a little bit and get things back under control. But a lot of times that happens with being out of position. You're in a posture that you haven't been in before, and that's where your coach comes in and looks at old video and things that you did when you were successful, and then we get you back in those places. So we use TrackMan and video together, and we know your numbers when you're playing your very best. TrackMan's a great tool for when you're playing terrible and you want to learn to get into a better, more repeatable position. It's also a great tool when you're playing great golf. We want to collect those numbers, remember them, get them written down somewhere so that you don't ever forget them. And then when you're in trouble again, we need to get back into those positions. And so using video and seeing where you were, and then also the numbers, because the TrackMan measures everything you do in 0.1 degrees.
We're going to get to a text question here in a minute. But, Brian, I don't know how many people noticed. You posted a video of yourself hitting left-handed shots.
Yeah.
You're a right-handed player.
I am.
Why?
Because my body gets too right-sided. And so my doctor gets mad at me and says, hey, you're getting stronger on one side than the other. And it's because I stopped practicing left-handed. So if you play a sport that is one-sided like golf is, your body's going to get stronger on that one side. In my case, right-handed, my right lat gets bigger, and certain muscles in my body start to take over more on that side of the body, and then you end up with injuries. And so for the last couple of years, it probably actually longer than that, I didn't want to just swing a golf club left-handed. So I decided, why not just practice? And so I hit balls left-handed pretty regularly, and it helps me keep my body more even and not so one-sided. I don't hit them quite as far. I'm not as fast left-handed, but it actually is getting better and better. And sometimes I surprise myself and I think, I really need to get my hands on another left-handed set of clubs and get playing.
Well, you're never going to have a shot you can't hit, right?
That's true.
I just turned the club over.
Yep.
A little bit right
there.
I've
done that a few times.
8077 on the text line. Good question right here. Asking you, Brian, what is the best drill to keep the right elbow in? If I do that, my ball contact is so much better. But if I don't, it could be a long day.
Yeah, I think the easiest way to do that is just do mirror work without hitting balls. And so away from the golf course, stand in front of a mirror and just work in slow motion that position. And Steve Stricker is probably the best one I've ever seen do that. I was out teaching in Wisconsin. Titleist invited me out to teach a bunch of golf professionals, and I was going to the facility where Steve Stricker works out and practices at, and his father-in-law happens to be the head golf professional there, well-decorated PGA professional, and I found out from his father-in-law that he stands in this little bay, and the only tech in there is a mirror, and for an hour before he hits his first golf ball, he just looks in the mirror and watches his positions from the top of his swing all the way through impact to finish. And he does that for an hour. Then he starts hitting balls. And that's a great way to get yourself to see yourself in that position and get used to seeing it and feeling it, because you need to feel it and continue to work that down through impact and then through your finish. Because really on the finish side too, that left elbow has to stay in just like the one on the right if you're a right-handed player. And so what you see on your right, you want to kind of see on your left. And so anyway, Steve's a great example of that. He doesn't hit a ball for an hour. He goes in there, looks in the mirror, and just watches that position.
Amazing right there. Of course, we do have the second Live Tour event coming up. They're going to be playing out at Oregon, and it's the field probably better than it was in London, no doubt about that. But still a lot of consternation about that. Matthew Wolf, Abraham Answer, Carlos Ortiz, the latest pros. Brooks Koepka had a very contentious news conference today over there, Mark, and you saw that a little bit earlier on. And it got Brooks got a little bit, he got a little heated today.
He's tired of answering the questions about the tour, and tough. You're there, answer the questions. And as Claire Peterson told us the other day, the outgoing director at the John Deere, it's foolish to compare the Live Tour and the John Deere events this week, because none of those LIV guys were going to play in the Deere anyway.
Right.
True. Very true. 2 weeks from now, during the Open Championship, we will talk 2 weeks from today on the eve of the Open. There is going to be a meeting with the officials of the World Golf Rankings. That's going to be the first big step, if you will, on how this is all going to play out, because the LIV Tour guys want to stay in the official World Golf Rankings. 54-hole events do not count in those rankings. Only 72-hole events. They are petitioning to try to stay in the World Golf Rankings with their events. And like I said, that meeting is going to take place in 2 weeks. And that's going to be the first benchmark in how this is all going to play out. So stand by, right?
Yeah, I don't. The 54-hole thing is very interesting. It's a different format for sure. It's going to definitely be easier on the players. The senior tour plays that way, 54 holes.
Yeah. Most of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that part's going to be interesting because you're still looking at some of the best players in the world.
Well, plus, you only have a 48-player field on the LIV tour versus 156, Brian.
Yeah, I agree. But. You know, if you take their current rankings right now, you know, what is that? They're all in that, you know, they're 100 and under for sure. And you're talking about some of the best players in the world in that 48, half of them are probably in the top 50. And that's the scary part, that if they don't allow them in, that's definitely going to change the world rankings. And it's going to be great for some players.
Yeah.
And it'll be very interesting to see some of the opens, you know, as when they get in, the LIV players get into some of the opens that aren't going to do any restrictions, what's going to happen there as well. And those are going to be 72-hole events. And if they play well or win, you know, what does that do to their world ranking?
True. Yeah, and of course, what's it going to do as far as the Ryder Cup, President's Cup, and all that for picks? That's what needs to be determined coming up. So that will be very, very interesting to see how that all plays out. But Brian, appreciate it. Website again for people to check it out.
Yeah, lakehousesports.com or brianhausgolf.com. Either will work. They all go to the same website. And I appreciate Jess and all he said today. That was very kind of him. And it's fun helping everybody get their game put back together.
There you go. Or improve.
He's on retainer right now, right, Brian?
Yeah, it seems that way, right?
There you go. And looking forward, we'll talk golf again in a couple of weeks. Just ahead of the Open Championship, the 150th, to be played at the Old Course at St. Andrews. It will be a very, very big anniversary as far as the Open Championship is concerned. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk some Major League Baseball. RJ Anderson of CBS Sports will join us, and we'll take a look at Major League Baseball as we head into the month of July, which starts on Friday. Big thanks to Brian. Thanks to Jess Settles. Mark, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Sounds great. See you back in the studio in a couple weeks, Brian.
Sounds great. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Thanks to Ben as well. And stay tuned. Todd and Alex coming your way next. You've been listening to The Gym Class presented by DePaco Community Credit Union and KGYM.
Is your bathroom looking old and worn out? Want to update it, but you don't know where to start? Then let VCI Bath & Shower show you how to turn that old bath into an aisle of beauty and functionality. Our residential bathroom solutions provide the best value on the market, and our customer service is second to none. Our cost-effective VCI Bath & Shower